welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
There was an interesting story that came out in this past week. Obviously, we're going to cover LGBTQ plus blah, blah, blah news, as is our way. And interesting story came out, not particularly gay. But it does relate to kind of gender expectations and gender roles. And weirdly enough, for some reason, and some people on Twitter were kind of quick to point this out. So the story is, there is a school in Alberta, and an eight-year-old girl there was given designated a mask. First of all, why schools are handing out masks? I don't know. I kind of get it. Maybe, you know, equal access as a vital resource.
Yeah, if you don't bring one from home and you don't have access to one, or you can't afford one.
Maybe you can get one. So anyway, they had choices, sort of blue and green for the boys, or like pink with lipstick kisses for the girls.
Okay.
To which this eight-year-old was somewhat stunned, and appropriately so, because why would the girls have to have lipstick kisses?
Well, if it's two boxes and they say pick from the box and then you can just pick from whichever box, that's fine. But if they hand it to you and you're like, this is yours now, and you're like, can I not have that one? And they say no.
I mean, all it's going to lead to is the kids are going to then swap amongst themselves and trade up like Pokemon cards.
You know, when my brother started having Babby, I decided that everything I would give them would be green and yellow, because then it would be...
It would match the vomit.
Well, it'd be gender non-specific, and it kind of...
blend in with the vomit.
It gets away from... Well, the vomit tends to be, like, beige-colored.
Oh, white. Weirdly, baby vomit's white.
Yeah. It's because the baby food is just paste.
Ew.
They're drinking actual, like, Elmer's glue.
You can tell what good with babies.
But yellow and green. Everything was yellow and green because I wanted to get away from that stuff. And, you know, historically pink was a masculine color.
Well, sometimes these super gender things backfire in a big way.
Like the wildfire that was
started. Like the wildfire in California. That's exactly where I was going. Yeah,
and the lady who first popularized gender reveal parties openly stated she regretted it. And she's like, stop setting fire to things.
Specifically... the wildlife.
Yeah, and it's stuff like, the original idea was something like you cut open a cake with white frosting and it's blue on the inside. Or you crack open a piñata and pink candy falls out. Like, it wasn't meant to be explosives, or you can actually throw...
Pyrotechnics.
You can actually change the color of a fire. There is such a thing as a blue or a pink fire. And that wasn't the spirit of it. The spirit of it was supposed to be a baby shower, where as a part of the baby shower, out comes a cake.
Yes. The most important bit where you then announce the genitalia on your child.
Well, it was...
You know, it's super important that we then set fire to most of California so that everyone knows what genitalia your children have.
There's one instance where I could actually see it making sense. And I've thought about this because I think gender reveal parties are bizarre and creepy. If you don't tell people what the gender of your baby is before the baby shower, people are just going to give you things like diapers or, you know, a car seat or a stroller or bottles or the breast pumps and all the stuff that you need that is incredibly expensive. Whereas the moment you say it's a girl, people start bringing like dolls and stuff. But really what you need, if you are a new parent and you're throwing a baby shower, it's because you cannot afford to drop 80 grand in a week on all of this stuff all at once. So if you say, okay, having a baby shower, and then people just bring like 2 months worth of diapers, which is, it's not an exciting gift. Like, it's the kind of gift that...
That's what I got my older sister and my brother's... mother of his child.
When they open it, they're like, oh, great. And then 2 months later, they call you and they're like, thank you so much. But and then at the end of the party, be like, oh, by the way, it's a girl. Or, oh, by the way, it's a boy. Because then you're not getting into all the nonsense.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's so
but even then,
unnecessary.
That's just very specifically, like, this is the one situation where I could see having a gender reveal portion of a different event being just the baby shower. I could see that working and not being bizarro and creepy and overly focused on stuff that doesn't matter for another 2 to 4 months. Some of it's just peculiar.
So these face masks, apparently the government of Alberta has a third-party supplier who makes these masks.
Okay.
Obviously, I don't think the Minister of Education is there hand-sewing them himself. And they're provided to schools so that, you know, everyone has an equal chance to get the same kind of quality mask.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for that. I grew up in the British system where you all wear the same uniform. I'm all for, you know, standard universal access to necessary tools. Big fan of that.
I went to school. Although,
weirdly,
well,
people pointed out that it must have taken them longer to divvy up said masks by gender than to just shove them in the box and hand them out one by one.
Just make white ones.
Just, it's crazy. Some people have noted that their children are choosing, you know, not what you would expect gendered masks, like unicorns or baby boys, because, like, unicorns are cool.
A unicorn is a horse with a sword on its head. How is that not masculine? That's badass. That's really cool. Yeah. I don't know how this became girly. I think more boys need to be into unicorns.
I don't know. Girls can be into unicorns.
Yeah, but it's a horse with a sword on its head.
It's a spiky bone bit.
Yeah.
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 And you shouldn't eat its blood, otherwise you will have a condemned half-life. anyone who's read Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone would know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends on the mythos.
The only relevant one here is the first Harry Potter book. Or Sorcerer's Stone, depending on which country you're in.
So here's the thing. I've read more books than just Harry Potter.
I don't believe you. I think that's a lie.
I've read Dune 4 times. I'm reading it in French now.
So let's jump to our first story. Let's talk about Stats Canada. And this is kind of, you know, it's an unfortunate fact.
Well, here's... Okay, so first we should say what the study is.
So there was a study into violence against, you know... There was data released by Stats Canada, and they found that...
You're actually going too deep.
Oh, okay.
It's Stats Canada, and they were just doing a demography study, because that is what they do. They do demographics. Everything else that falls out from that is them finding patterns in the demographics. And they have been studying... gender identity and sexual attraction for kind of 25 years, but this is the first time where they put together a study that also captured things like gender identity, you know, do you identify as specifically bisexual versus homosexual and to what degree and stuff like that. Like they really got down into some of the details, and then they start cross-listing that information with other information in that study. So when you do demographic data, some of the questions in there are like, have you experienced crime in the past year? Have you experienced violent crime in the past year? And then all they do is they just pull out all the files of LGBT folks, and then they just say, how many of them? So they didn't actually do a targeted study on queer people and violence. It was just, it's Stats Canada. They were doing a demography as a part of their census, sort of their mandate. And then as a part of this, they actually, I know this because actually Stats Canada is here in Ottawa, and I know people who are on the committee. So the only thing they did different this time is they got specialists in to make sure that it was well done, well executed, and got into the right hands, and to spread the word to the community to not lie, because a lot of people don't feel comfortable telling the truth on government forms when it comes to things like gender and sexual identity. So really, this was just a demography, and these are the results they found in that demography when you zoom in just on the LGBT community.
So the study in question took place in 2018. It was a 2018 survey, so pretty recent. It's only a couple of years old. They released the experiences of violent victimization and unwanted sexual behaviors among gay, lesbian, bisexual, and other sexual minority people, as well as the trans community.
Yes.
They broke out the trans community because gender identity, gender expression has an impact on certain types of crime.
Yeah, it's a different axis, but the two, like gender identity and sexual expression kind of, they overlap, but they are kind of separate.
Yeah. The challenge is that there weren't enough trans folks filling out the survey.
Yeah.
To then be able to do really much with the information.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But similar highlights that we found out is that gay Canadians, there we go, this acronym, I was falling over it. Gay Canadians are nearly 3 times more likely to have experienced an assault in the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
So 17 through to 18, compared to straight folks. So that's 11% of Canadian LGBT folks had been assaulted within the previous 12 months, compared to only 4% of straight folks over the same time period from those who responded to the survey. It's quite a significant.
Now, in the past, because in 2008, I believe, is 2008 or 2006, that was the last time they did a proper census before Harper, started axing sciences and demography and stuff like that. But anyway, the 2006, 2008 is one of those 2 years, was the last time they did a proper one. And at that time, they had started studying gays, bisexuals, and lesbians. They weren't really doing gender identity stuff yet. And at that point, they found when they were in the follow-up analysis, the violence was not all of it. In fact, only a portion of it was homophobic in nature. A lot of it was just that people who are same-sex attracted to some degree or another have a higher rate of domestic and partner abuse than the rest of society. So have they done any follow-ups yet? Because you say it's 2 years old, it's pretty new, but in the grand scheme of statistics, 2 years is actually like hot off the presses because it takes years to process this data. So have they done any follow-ups on the sources yet? I wasn't been able to find anything, but I was also reading the article in French.
Yeah, so they did also ask about unwanted sexual behavior, such as inappropriate jokes or comments. 57% of LGBT people had received inappropriate jokes or comments of a sexual nature, compared to 37%, and it was 58% for trans folks. Mm. And then also inappropriate content comments at work. The one that jumped out at me was that 59% of sexual minority Canadians reported having experienced an assault since the age of 15. So that's not like every day since age 15. That's, in their life from 15 till now.
Right.
Over half, 59% had experienced being assaulted, compared to only 37% of straight folks.
I would even say that it's less true now, but for especially gay and bisexual men over the age of, I'm going to say about 45, you can sometimes guess that they're gay because a lot of them have a crooked nose. Like, getting your nose broken was just part of growing up gay for quite some period of history. Like, I've always been very curious about, what's his name? Stephen Fry. Stephen Fry has a crooked nose, and I was always wondering, like, did he get that in his youth from... Because he's a pretty obviously gay man, and just wondering if something had happened to him that he's not very open about. I don't know, but it's... The violence has gone down, but that it's not gone at all. Like, it's... We're not looking at the 70s or 80s anymore, but this kind of data shows that there is still stuff going on, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So we, it was interesting because, I mean, it's important to note that they estimate that there's about 1 million people who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or something which isn't heterosexual.
Yeah.
That's about 4% of the Canadian population. Not quite 1 in 10. But, I mean, it's important to... Okay,
I never believed it was 1 in 10.
The 1 in 10 is from, I think it was the, Kinsey, and he was actually... measuring experiences of sexual activity. I think it was against like young men out of the Navy at a harbor or something. Like,
yeah,
it was students at the peak of their
The 1 in 10 was actually prison inmates.
Either way, it was not a fair representative sample.
It wasn't consensual. Open society, you have all, I'm not going to say all the choice in the world, but you have more choice than the 200 people.
So 4% is a touch more realistic. There's about 4% of Canadians identify as LGB in some kind of fashion. There's about 1 million of us in total. There are an estimated 75,000 trans folks across Canada, about 0.24% of the population, according to the social survey by Stats Canada. What's interesting as well is that Stats Canada indicated that LGBT folks are also less likely to report to the police.
Mm.
And I think the reason why I wanted to come in on this is, we've got 3 times more likely to be assaulted in 2017, 2018. Mm. So we're not talking, you know, historic here. We're talking pretty damn recently. Mm-hmm. Three times more likely to be assaulted. And way less likely to tell the police about it.
Actually, I looked it up, and in the French article from Fugue, by the way, they actually did say that that 59% is specifically from non-partners. So that's 59% will experience violence from somebody that they're not dating. So they're excluding domestic and
intimate
partner violence. So yeah, that number, that actually makes that number higher.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Now, the reason why I wanted to bring up the reporting to the police side is because when we have stories such as, you know, the Hamilton thing where there was a crisis in how Hamilton responded to the community, and most recently in Vancouver, where just last Sunday at time of recording, the Vancouver Police Department was accused of failing the LGBT community for how it handled the hate preachers in Vancouver. And you end up getting these sort of vigilante groups, and we talked about it last week a little bit with Morgan Auger, these sort of vigilante groups stepping up because they don't believe and do not trust that the police are there to do anything about it. And I remember being in Toronto around the Bruce MacArthur murders, and I interviewed, you know, some folks from the South Asian Society, one of the societies working around HIV there. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, if I got stabbed in the street, you know, in a mugging, in a road surrounded by cameras, I still would not tell the police because I wouldn't trust them not to charge me with the stabbing. You know, and there is such a complete failure of faith in the policing. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is... These are incidents where that relationship has crumbled.
But yeah.
They, you know, the Stats Canada is saying that clearly, you know, the police need to do more to continue to build that relationship.
Yeah, this is definitely something we've brought up before, that the number of times where an incident happens, the police get dragged through the mud and dragged across hot coals for their actions. And then later on, over the next... sometimes weeks, sometimes years, more information comes out and you realize that the police did everything right, except for one important thing, and that's communicate with the public. And this is definitely something that policing in Canada does not have a priority of communicating openly with the public. And I know that TV is not realistic, but whenever I watch British crime dramas, and I watch probably as much British TV as American TV, which is not hard to do considering how garbage American TV is and how good British TV is. But anyway, whenever there's any incident, there's always some constable on camera talking to the public about what's going on, keeping them up to date. This is what we do know. This is what we don't know. Here are certain things we cannot tell
Communication.
You.
Communication.
Yeah, we can't tell you this because we're looking into it. We don't want to tip anyone off unnecessarily. They, like, you know, that might just be the TV presence, but the idea that they think that that might happen... Even if that's not completely realistic, the fact that the screenwriters in England feel that that's what police do, that's significant. We don't really have that expectation here in Canada. That, like, the journalists are going to hound probably the chief of police, who's quite frankly busy being the chief of police. And why do they not have some kind of a media relations department who's actually doing their damn job? So, like, the idea of communicating with the public is just sort of not on the radar here in Canada. And I really do think that is, at this point in history, the greatest flaw of the police, the fact that they do not take communication seriously.
Well, I think there are other flaws that I believe the police have: lack of training, lack of cultural competency training around LGBT folks and sort of other minorities in general, and also the fact that it's just there is such a litany of events where you're like, how is this your response? Now, I do want to talk about somebody who did respond a little quicker, which is the provincial parties, in at least in two cases, the provincial parties in the province of New Brunswick. Now, for our listeners in New Brunswick, we are aware that you may be hearing this around the time of the election. The provincial election there is scheduled for the 14th. It is unlikely that you're hearing this before the election, which I believe is on Tuesday.
Monday.
I don't think you'll be hearing this before the election. But for the rest of Canada, this is, you know, somewhat important news. Roland Michaud, who was a candidate for the PC Progressive Conservatives in New Brunswick was dropped from the party and is now, as a result, running independent. Because he tweeted out a meme in 2018, and I'll quote the meme here, because it very much ties to the Stats Canada story. And for trans folks listening, I'd like to apologize, but we are doing this for as an example.
Yeah, we're quoting
out. Yeah, it is a meme where the guy sort of looks like a newscaster, a white caricature of a newscaster. A man followed a young girl into a Target bathroom in Texas, saying he self-identified as a woman. The man's teeth were knocked out by the girl's father, who self-identified as a tooth fairy. Now, haha, chuckle, chuckle, identifies as a tooth fairy. But really what this is saying that, you know, that father was clearly in the humorous right for assaulting this person who identifies as a woman, which is literally what we're talking about, being three times more likely to be assaulted in the past 12 months than if you were, you know, if you were straight. And it is so serious that these kind of casual, flippant memes imply that this is totally acceptable behavior, you know, and it really isn't. It absolutely is not. And it did cost Roland Michaud from being in the race. We should mention that John Gardner, who was in the Liberal Party for one of the seats in New Brunswick, also tweeted in 2018, Facebook posted in 2018. I think these both may have been Facebook posts. And he was actually talking about that story, which we refer to a lot, about the town who the New Brunswick straight flag debacle.
Yep.
Now, just a quick refresh for our listening audience. In 2018, I forget the name of the town. We'll figure it out during the break. But it was this tiny speck of a town between, I think, Moncton and Fredericton. And they'd raised the pride flag. And then a local man was like, well, you know, I see you've raised the pride flag, but, you know, really, I think we should also be equal and fair and raise the straight flag.
Chipman.
New Brunswick. And so they did. They were like, yeah, okay, cool. They didn't even Google it. They didn't ask anybody. It was a bureaucratic process. And the flag was up for, I believe, about 12 hours.
Not long at
all. And then it made international news. The town of Chipman, New Brunswick, was dragged through the coals. We believe, as LGBT commentators and having, you know, at the time and even now, that this was just an honest mistake by the bureaucrats at the time.
Yeah.
They did not understand the sort of context and the implication and the history and the violent history behind the straight flag.
Their response really seemed to be, what? It's what? What? Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think they Googled it, but they sure as heck pulled it back down.
Yeah.
So Mr. Gardner posted, sorry, folks, but if you want to celebrate all people, you have to recognize all people, not just minorities. They talk of the rainbow flag being one of inclusion. Yet another group have equal time and they hit the bigot button. If they say the straight flag is not allowed, then they shouldn't be flying the LGBT one. Fair is fair. I mean, that really is not the case. Every single, you know, it really is about that sort of.
Well, here's the other thing. All right, here's another counterpoint. We've been through counterpoints a million times, but here's just another one. Okay, there is one standard pride flag and another two that have emerged over the past couple of years that some people agree with, some people don't. I like the chevrons one. I don't like the two extra stripe ones, but that's a completely different conversation. But with straight flags, there's a couple dozen straight flags because it's not a singular movement. It is a bunch of people who've invented their own flags that they put up flagpoles now and then, or they may get some print shop to make their flags for them. There is not a unified, codified symbol because it's not a unified, codified political movement for straightness. Like, there is no straight flag because there's no straight movement. So it's not a symbol. It's just something that a bunch of people have independently made up, and it's not been adapted as a cohesive signifier.
It is not a symbol of the struggle and the unity of straight people.
Or anything at
all. It is a symbol of, if you get one, I must get one.
Well, it doesn't have to be. Like, the Swiss flag is not a symbol of the struggle of the Swiss. It's just a symbol of Switzerland. It's just a signifier that you're now in Switzerland.
Like, it doesn't, or you own a small knife.
It doesn't have to be about struggle, but it does have to signify something, and the straight flag doesn't really signify anything other than we're not gay, which is
Yeah. Yeah, and it's more a flag to prove a point against the LGBT community. Yeah. It's only ever been weaponized.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not nice, and it promotes an environment where sort of hate is allowed to fester, mm-hmm. and we start to see 2-3 times more assaults than not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think there's a lot here. I mean, I am relieved that both the Progressive Conservative Party in the province of New Brunswick and the Liberal Party in the province of New Brunswick both reacted quickly to this. The meme promoting violence is completely unacceptable.
I keep telling you, East Coast Conservatives are not that bad.
Well, I don't know.
I wouldn't vote for them, but if they got voted in, I wouldn't complain. But
well, we are jumping to our first song. This is Easy by Troye Sivan, and we shall be back just after this.
You ran away to find something to say. I went straight to make it okay, and he made it easy, darling. I'm still in love, and I say that because I know how it seems between you and me. It hasn't been easy, darling. After the dance, the smell on my hands, the rock in my throat, a hair on my coat, a stranger at home, my darling.
Some kind of freak, my darling.
Now I'm vulnerable, so sad and alone. But don't cry for me, cause everyone knows you reap what you sow, my darling. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
I am Sebastian.
Now, sticking to our law and order approach for this week's episode.
Oh, yes?
Who knew that was the approach we were taking, but it is what it is.
Dun dun!
Law and order. I want to dramatically take off my glasses. Yeah. It doesn't work, this is radio, but it looked cool. You say otherwise.
my ka-chunk reference was better.
Oh. From... Well, whatever.
Law and Order, the show. Yeah, they okay. had that dun-dun. Oh, never mind. Go on.
All right, we'll move on. So let's talk about, you know, in Hamilton, I mentioned it very briefly just now.
Yeah.
But in Hamilton, what has been legally described as a melee.
A melee.
Or melee. Melee. It's a melee, isn't it? It's like a fist fight, a brawl.
I'd go with melee.
Melee.
Yeah.
I know. Melee just sounds sort of laissez-faire. Melee sounds sort of like a game console game, you know.
Melee is a food texture.
Okay.
Like, you can have a melee bread. Cornbread is melee. People fighting each other is a melee.
I don't know. I'm still thinking it's a melee. It's a melee. Anyway.
If you have a strong opinion
about... There was a scuffle.
If you have a strong opinion about melee versus melee...
Let us know. At Talk Canquia. Geez Louise, get there in the end. You can find us on the Book of Faces and on... I think we're primarily on the Book of Faces. And we're Velvet Studio on Instagram.
And Twitter.
Oh, yes, we are on Twitter as well. Now, Christopher van der Weyde, who is how I've affectionately, very unaffectionately called the nutter who smashed someone in the face with a helmet.
Helmet guy.
Helmet guy is how helmet he's guy. Colloquially known online. I refer to him as the nutter that smashed someone in the face with a helmet because that is what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Has now pled guilty to smashing someone in the face with a helmet.
Yep.
Well, he actually pled guilty to assault with a weapon. But having seen the video, it was smashing someone in the face with a helmet. He was charged with smashing two people in the face with a helmet. So a charge for two assaults.
Okay.
The other one was dropped. But he has now been... he pled guilty.
Mm-hmm.
He has received a 1-year suspended sentence for smashing someone in the face with his helmet. He won't be incarcerated, but he does have to attend anger management counseling. Hopefully to curb his face-smashing tendencies.
I like the idea of reforming people and make them learn the nature of their mistakes.
Like someone should smash him in the face with a helmet?
No. Like,
oh, that would be revenge.
Yeah. That doesn't do... Like, I don't
Less
want...
Less effective.
I don't want people who've hurt me to die. I want them to live long enough to regret what they did. You know? And I would rather have this guy live long enough to regret what he did and turn into an ally.
I don't think so. Well, according to CBC coverage of the van der Weyde case, he said, all of this probably should have been avoided. I think that is an understatement.
That's a pretty,
pretty big one. But now I'm a different man and would like to put all of this behind us and do something better. I don't know if he means to change his helmet or to choose something else. His lawyer pointed out that the media coverage may now make it more difficult for him to get a job. Mm. I imagine the video footage of him smashing someone in the face with a helmet also would make it more difficult for him to get a job. I don't know. Having seen the footage at the time, I was outraged that somebody could be so audacious, cavalier, arrogant, aggressive, to run through and smash people in the face with a helmet. They said Antifa was there, which is obviously an excuse to smash people in the face with helmets.
Well, I mean,
excuse. Yeah, unacceptable. No. Well, he's pled guilty. He will be going to anger management.
I don't care what your political affiliation is. I denounce all violence except for kung fu movies.
I did watch...
and Keanu Reeves.
I'm watching Karate Kai. No.
Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai, yeah. I recently watched all the Karate Kid movies.
Yeah.
I
mean,
for self-defense.
If we could just make an agreement that the only one who can do violence on anyone is Jackie Chan from now on, I'd be okay with that. Because Jackie Chan, like, if he roundhouse kicked me, I would thank him because I got kicked by Jackie Chan and that's cool. You're looking at me so strangely, but you know that if he punched you square in the chest and knocked you down, you'd be like, I got knocked over by Jackie Chan. It'd be so exciting.
Only if I dramatically flew backwards like I was on strings.
And then fell over a balcony onto a bunch of empty cardboard boxes.
Yes.
Then exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, no.
Jackie Chan should have a monopoly on violence, is
absolutely.
What I'm saying.
Only if it's sort of theatrical, over-the-top awful violence. That's as in violence that is not very good.
It sounds like a bit, but this is actually what I want for
the
world.
Yeah. Well, the judge in this case said that apparently it was very difficult to prosecute said case on account of the fact that the victim did not cooperate.
There was video evidence. Oh, as if you don't press charges, the state has to press charges, and that's a completely different process.
Yeah. He also can't possess any weapons. He has to keep the peace. And he is not allowed to go to Gage Park for a year, which kind of doesn't really make a difference because there won't be a pride.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have an opportunity anyway. It's really hard to smash people in the face with a helmet via a Zoom call.
Wasn't he from Port Colborne or something? Like, didn't he drive in with a group of people and he wasn't
Hamilton? I think he was local.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is unfortunate. It was a nice conclusion to the story.
Hmm.
He is the only anti-gay protester who was charged in the melee.
Yes.
Which makes me think of malaise. I'm sorry, but it just doesn't have the right vibe. A malaise, very similar sounding,
well,
very different vibes.
In French, it would be melee and malaise. So it's,
I don't know.
The vowels are different.
I see what you're saying, but no, I don't
It doesn't translate to English, which has fewer vowels than French.
No, I think it is melee and malaise.
You can just say melee.
I'm going to go with melee.
Like a flower necklace in the month of May. Melee.
Yep, still not convinced. Now, what happened recently, I was actually chatting with our Regina folks. Great fact that they had a physically distanced pride parade recently. So good on you, Regina, the town that rhymes with
fun.
Regina. Yeah. Now, speaking of the province of Saskatchewan, there is some interesting CBC coverage of a drive-in drag show scheduled. So there is the Lakewood Civic Center in Saskatoon is having a part of the parking lot transformed for the drive-in drag performance.
The rebirth of the drive-in, I think, is a very positive thing. When I was a kid, there was a drive-in near where I grew up, and we would go to the drive-in there. I saw rock
music. I've been to a drive-in as well. It's kind of cool. It's kind of kitsch. I like it. I
saw Rocky Horror at a drive-in. Was it Rocky Horror? No, it wasn't. It was... Anyway, it didn't matter. I don't drive on account of occasional temporary blindness due to ocular migraines.
Oh.
But if I... You didn't know about that?
No, I didn't know that's blind.
Fine. Yeah, if you see me playing video games with your partner and all of a sudden I'm just hiding in the corner, it's because I can't see out of my good eye.
Oh, dear. That's not good.
It usually lasts for like 30 seconds, but I wouldn't want that 30 seconds to occur while switching lanes on a highway. So
yeah, no, it's not ideal.
Driving is never going to happen for me in the future. But no, if I have a friend with a car... Yeah, we'll happily go.
I don't know how they're going to make it work, but a few of the local queens have come together. Cheryl Trade is one of them, and then Sad Sally, and I forget who the other one is.
Sad Sally is a good name.
Yep. They've been working alongside. The proceeds raised will go to Out Saskatoon. I have actually been a big fan of Out Saskatoon. They've done some great work.
Oh, my God. Is this from the drag show, this picture?
No.
Oh.
Well, it's one of the drag queens.
She looks hilarious.
And I do like it. We're talking about Sad Sally there for our listeners in the area. But yeah, I think it'd be fun.
She's got that Jimbo evil drag clown look.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're in your own vehicle, it's nice and safe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As far safe as it can get.
And they don't hassle you if you bring your own snacks?
Way easier to hide your snacks in your own vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I may have sneaked some Smarties into a theater in my time.
But imagine
how many Smarties you can hide in a car.
If you're in a car, you can sneak a turkey dinner in.
This is true.
Yeah.
A whole turkey dinner.
Whole turkey dinner.
Yep. Have a nice pig roast for absolutely.
It would be in a thermos. Not a thermos, a cooler.
Yeah.
Which can also keep things warm. But yeah, no, it's... You don't have to cook it on.
Maybe you can get pizza delivered. Like, have pizza delivery come to you.
Man.
I like it. A third car to the left, just past the drag queens. Well, it's a cool idea. Hopefully more towns will step up and with this. I think it's fantastic. All right, we're going to jump to our next song. This is Escuete Jerez by Lida Pimienta. It's the Ostra remix. Lito Pimienta is a Colombian-born, Toronto-based LGBT or queer-identified singer that we are big fans of. I like this track. Okay. It's a very entertaining track, very fun to hear and listen to. It is in Spanish. Heads up to our listeners. And we shall be back just after this. Eso que tú haces, eso que tú haces, no es amor, no es amor. To Can Queer, the name of the show. I forgot where I was going with that. My name is Luke Smith. That's where I was going with it.
This is Can Queer, which I do remember.
And you are Luke. You are Sebastian. Jeez Louise.
Are you well?
I am. I'm Welsh, but I don't know if I'm well right now. Okay. You know what it was? I was reading some disturbing information. I was actually reading the New York County Clerk Office record for the lawsuit by the Star Trek Discovery actor Anthony Rapp. Now, you may recall a few years ago, he has sued Kevin Spacey, the disgraced former actor on House of Cards.
Right, yes.
Now, Anthony Rapp has sued, I was reading the lawsuit, sued Kevin Spacey along with a co Accuser, I suppose is the right word, who has been only recognized as the initials CD. What's important to note that the case of, or the allegations by Anthony Rapp of Kevin Spacey essentially had invited Anthony Rapp, who was an actor in a West End play, a young child actor, and Anthony Rapp had invited, so Kevin Spacey had invited a number of actors, not just Anthony Rapp, to his home. He is known to have held Broadway parties. He was a very big deal in Broadway at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Spacey is alleged to have then picked up Anthony Rapp, put him onto his bed, touched his buttocks, and climbed on top before Anthony Rapp was able to flee. That is according to the allegations as set out in his lawsuit. Paraphrasing, obviously, there is like 28 separate lines related to it, detailing all of the emotional distress and the abuse that took place. It is super important to note that Anthony Rapp was 14 at the time of these allegations. We haven't really heard much from Kevin Spacey, very much laid low. There have been no consequences in terms of the criminal investigations. No charges have been laid that we've been made aware of.
No criminal consequences, but the...
This is the first civic lawsuit we've seen.
Yeah. Hollywood in general, a lot of people were like, yeah, I would totally believe that. I know that guy.
So what's quite interesting here is actually what's being alleged by the co-accuser. CD has alleged that also invited to a house party by Kevin Spacey.
Mm-hmm.
Although the actions that CD, who was also 14 at the time, includes allegations of intercourse and more by Kevin Spacey before was able to flee. They're definitely very serious.
The graphic.
Yes, yeah. And there is detail there. And I think really what it does is, you know, it adds a lot of weight to what Anthony Rapp has publicly indicated. What others have indicated through other stories at the time, but this is the first time we're seeing some of the details.
Yeah. I mean, so in terms of consequences, people are being kept away from him. So it's sort of the answer to most badly written horror movies, which is just don't go in that house. But it does not mean that there's any consequences against Kevin Spacey in specific. So his ability to repeat is basically scrapped because nobody trusts him anymore. And he doesn't really do anything these days except release really weird and creepy Christmas videos that he produces himself. It's the idea of consequences, like consequences versus legal consequences. The legal consequences are very shortcoming, but unfortunately, a lot of that has to come down to the way the system operates and how evidence is treated when you're talking about assaults that happened further back than the last week. It can be very complicated, and it's kind of unfortunate, but the fact that it was not even given a day in court to be for a jury to say, like, there's insufficient evidence, the fact that it didn't even get that far, I think, is a real bummer. But the fact that at least people are not putting up with known predators anymore.
Well, I mean, there is another story I'll get to in just a moment, but Kevin Spacey says that essentially he responded saying he's beyond horrified to hear the story. He does not remember the encounter. Obviously denies any of this took place. The co-accuser apparently met Kevin Spacey whilst Kevin Spacey was giving an acting class. You know, like I said, Kevin Spacey, a renowned actor at the time, met a lot of young actors and actresses. There's allegations of sexual battery as a result. They've sued for an unspecified amount of compensatory and punitive damages. They were filed under the 2019 Child Victims Act. So it's quite a recent act in New York under which they filed. But I bring this up because there was another story that came out that concerned me. And I think it's important that we are aware, that young LGBT folks are aware that, you know, older, I think Kevin Spacey was in his mid-20s, 20, 29. But there was a story that came out in the UK. It was a Swindon court, so it was in Wiltshire, in England, where a 52-year-old man has been sentenced to 4 years and 6 months after he sexually assaulted a 13-year-old that he met on Grindr. He'd apparently arranged to meet the young boy at a car park, where he was then assaulted. But most importantly here, young LGBT folks are looking for companionship. They're looking for company. They're looking for, you know, I remember being 13, and actually there was this this sort of story that's gone viral of people revealing when they first realized they were gay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was 12 when I realized X, or I was, you know, whatever, and I realized X. And I was actually thinking back to when I was around this age and realizing that obviously I had the world's biggest crush on, you know, my friend so-and-so. I won't say who,
yeah,
in case they listen. But, you know, clearly I would love to have gone on a date and, you know, kissed and maybe, you know, touched hands and what have you. You know, I remember that intimacy. And I think that now people have tools, such as Grindr, which gives unfettered access. And I think it's important that people are allowed to have, explore who they are, explore relationships, sort of age consistent, you know what I mean? Like, you know, maturity, where the maturity matches, you know what I mean? Like, they're, you know, people should be given an opportunity to explore who they are at the same age.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know a lot of people who say that their first time was with an older person, both lesbians and gay men.
It's very common amongst the LGBT
community. But it was like 19 and 30 something, not 13 and 50 something.
Yeah.
13 is way too green, even for a peer, to be honest. But there's a whole bunch of stuff going on here, because like Grindr is also supposed to filter out people under the age of 18.
Evidently not very
There was a failure there. There's just a lot going on in this story where, and I am not going to frame this in a way that blames the victim at all.
No, absolutely.
But it's just, there was a whole list of failures that led to this situation happening. And
I mean, the 52-year-old man absolutely holds all of the blame here. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I bring it up is because, you know, with the allegations against Kevin Spacey, you know, he was the alleged to have been at the time the acting teacher, you know, the mentor, you know, what have you. And it's I think people are a little more suspicious, more jaded now than they were in the past.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it still happens.
Oh, yeah.
But it's happening in a different way. So we have to be very careful and conscientious for the youngest amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't want culturally that we clamp down like the Iron Maiden.
Yeah,
You know, people should be given a chance. I remember being 13.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember my neighbor at the time, a wonderful woman, Kim, and she had a big crush on me. I'm obviously as queer as a $3 bill. But we were, like, made out in the cupboard underneath her bed.
Okay.
Like, it was a super wet, sloppy makeout. But, like, that was us exploring. That was us trying to figure out where we're at. You know what I mean? And that was us at 13.
I mean, I think the answer here is healthy skepticism.
Healthy skepticism and relationships that are age appropriate.
And you don't want people to fear the world and distrust everyone and just to assume that everybody in a position of authority or influence
is a Kevin Spacey,
is going to abuse them, because that's not the answer either. But you also don't want people to blindly do what they're told. Like, healthy skepticism is the answer. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to teach a child healthy skepticism. I grew up in a family with heavy French Canadian on one side and Jewish on the other side, and those two cultures are very, very skeptical of everything, including their own skepticism. So I don't know what influence led that to me turning into who I am, but we need to bottle that, and we need to find a way to get young children to, or even just people in general, because there's continuing stories in the community of people being abused by other people, of just how do you get people to have healthy skepticism. Optimism, but skeptical optimism.
You know, for me, it boils down to communication. And we have spoken to so many times, and we talk about incidences and cases of intimate partner violence and domestic abuse. Very often, they're sort of isolating, and it's like, don't talk to so-and-so, you can only talk to me. And it's absolutely vital that we have open, healthy relationships with our children, our young adults who are, you know, gay, questioning, trans, what have you, so that when something does come up,
They feel comfortable.
So that there is a comfort to talk to them. Yeah, you know, maybe, you know, I have the biggest crush on so-and-so who is 20. Well, you're 14. It's not appropriate. Let's talk about why you have a crush. Let's talk about some of the things. And let's see what we can see around that age. You know, let's see what's happening. You know, but you can't have those conversations unless you have open lines of communication. I think that's going to be our biggest takeaway. And that those who take advantage should absolutely be held accountable.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes, I know a guy with a helmet is really where I'm going.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, I have been Luke Smith. We're playing out with Dead End by Lights and the DJ Myth. And I've been Luke Smith.
It's not a Eurovision.
It's not a Eurovision.
Yeah. And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
It was a cheap shot and I'm sorry. All the money in the world doesn't buy your faith. Don't worry, yeah. If you're trying to